We are in love with light, especially during the dark seasons of the year. And of course, lights make a big difference at Christmas time. We light the world up, in fact, with Christmas time, with the Christmas lights. And they're beautiful. They're lovely to see. You drive around and you see how people have decorated their houses and how they have gathered together their Christmas lights and their decorations and made something many times that says something about the season, the reason for the season, and that's good. Beautiful. There's also one of my favorite lights is the luminaries. You know what luminaries are? They're the little bags of sand and a tea light in the bottom of it. It lights the whole bag up. And if a whole neighborhood does it, you have these long lines of these bags showing off. And it's beautiful. Little, low, quiet, tasteful. On the other end of the extreme, of course, there is the people that have 500,000 lights and decorations and Beethoven, and the whole lights are going to the whole thing and just back and forth, and your neighbors are suing you because of the noise and the traffic and everything else, because people want to see it. I mean, it looks good. It'll be on the internet this winter again. Somebody will post it, or they'll post an old one. I've seen some that just go crazy, and it's a lot of fun, but it's something else. And it doesn't have to be Christmas lights. They're as beautiful as they are. It doesn't have to be Christmas lights. It can be fire. Fire is beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful. It's warming. It helps us feel good and romantic at times. We love to just sit and watch the fire burn because it gives us a sense of comfort and peace and warmth. We love to have it. And so it's so important. In fact, sometimes people will get a computer program of a fire burning and play the program on their computers. It's beautiful. And then, of course, there's the thing, the reality is that we need light really desperately for our very health and well-being. We need light. Do you know what SAD is? Seasonal affective disorder. Have you ever heard of it? Yeah, you get it. It can happen to us during the dark seasons of the year. The first time I heard of it was on that television program many years ago called Northern Exposure. You remember that? It takes place up in Alaska. They have a lot of darkness up there during the winter months. In some places, of course, they don't get any sun at all. But where they were, they got a little bit during the day, but not much. And the problem was that when you don't have any light, your body reacts to it. You need that light in order to be healthy. And the cure for SAD, seasonal affective disorder, is to get more light, more sunlight. And what they did is they had this light machine, this that was like sunlight, and you clip it to the visor of your cap for 15 minutes and let this light shine into your eyes. And when you did that, you felt a whole lot better. You weren't sad. So we need sunlight. We need light in our lives. In the scripture lesson this morning from the book of Mark, Mark is talking about us having to wait in darkness. He's talking about us waiting in the darkness. The Master has left us and gone away for an unknown amount of time. And he has left the servants with a job to do, each one in their own place. And he's put one at the door to watch. Now, we don't know when he's coming back, so we have to be prepared because we don't want to be caught napping when he finally does return. But notice that all the times that Mark suggests for waiting for the coming of the Lord, to expect him to come, is in the dark. Evening, midnight, cockcrow, dawn. All of them are times of darkness, the times when we are least prepared for the coming of the King or the coming of the Master. We need to be alert and awake, even in the dark. And that's when it's hardest. We need Christ to come and bring us the light. In the scripture from Isaiah talks about how long it's been since the Lord came down. The people have been freed from Babylon. They have come back to their homeland. They are excited about being home again, and everything is going to be all right. But they're concerned by the fact that they haven't heard from God in a long time, and they need His hand in their lives. They're looking for a potter who will remold and remake them after his own image to enable them to do the work that God has called us to do. No matter how difficult that painful, that remaking may be, they want God in their lives. And so we wait. We wait for the coming of the King, for the Master to come back. And we wait, and we wait, and we wait. Just like we wait for Christmas to come, seemingly never going to get here. C.S. Lewis, a Brit Christian, wrote a book called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I'm sure many of you have read it. If you haven't, you need to. I hope you will. It takes place in Narnia, and the White Queen has decreed that there will be nothing but winter. And so it is winter, it is always winter in the land. And Lewis says it's always winter and never Christmas. The people of Narnia are waiting for Christmas to come because they know that if Christmas comes, then spring can't be too far behind. There is nothing but darkness surrounding us. We look around us and we see that darkness. We see the winter of our discontent, the darkness of our very souls. We look around and we see little babies being snatched out of their cribs in the middle of the night. We see the Penn State situation getting worse and worse and worse all the time. We see the world just sitting by as tens of thousands of people die of disease and starvation and lack of water. Children, thousands of children every day are dying because nobody seems to care. We look around us and we see Kaylee Anthony going unavenged as her mother walks away. We look around us and we see that we have failed to do unto the least of our brothers. 95% of all entitlement money in the United States comes out, reductions of the entitlements comes out of the welfare system, even though the welfare system encompasses only 25% of the total entitlements. The rest of the entitlements for the rich and for the businesses, they maintain, because the rich keep getting richer and the poor getting poorer, because the rich can afford it and the poor can't. There is darkness around us each and every day, and it seems to get worse and worse all the time. Now, it seems to me that a cure for all of this might be to have the Lord come back again. If he would just come down and be involved in the world around us, then maybe that would be a little better. We wish that God would be just a little more proactive, maybe shake things up a bit, a lightning bolt in the right situation, an altar being set afire, or maybe a leper being healed would make a difference in the world. Then we wouldn't have to rely on faith. We could talk to people and tell them what's going to happen, and they would know that the punishment is real, and they better do something or they're going to be in trouble. Think about what it would mean if we knew the day. If we knew the day that God was coming back, if he would be in our eyes again on this day, that you know that you had this much time to do something or you were going to get left behind. And one place that God could start all this to get involved in our lives again would simply be with Christmas itself. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God took Christmas back from the pagans and gave it back to the Christians? Think about what could happen. Just what is it that we are waiting for? All this waiting that we're doing in the dark. Well, Mark tells us that we're waiting for the Master to return, for the light of the world to push back the darkness, for the light of hope to push back the darkness that keeps us from seeing the future that we can't quite reach out and grasp. For the light of the promise, which is like the promise of Christmas morning, that promise that keeps us on the edge of our seats, and the promise to remove the fear that pushes back the darkness of our lives, the fear of the future, that dark nothing in front of us. No matter how far forward we go in our lives, that darkness still looms before us. And the fear of death and doubt and grief and grief. That, like a ghost, disappears with the coming of the light, So they disappear with the coming of the light of Jesus Christ in our lives. This light is Jesus Christ. As Christians, we know that God has opened the heavens to come down to be among us, to take us in hand, and to guide us in the way that He would have us to go. And this light, this presence of God, we can see around us. In fact, He has come down because He is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us right here and right now with who we are and what we're all about. God present in our lives. And we see that presence in the angelic chorus that proclaimed His birth, and in the Word of God that comes down to us in the baptism and the transfiguration of Jesus. God is present with us, breaking through from heaven to shake up this world with His grace and His love and change things so that they'll never be the same again. There's a story from Chicken Soup for the Soul about a little girl whose parents had a brand new baby. She was about 4 years old. And she came to them one day and said that she wanted an opportunity to talk with the baby. Parents were a little concerned. They didn't know whether this four-year-old, who had been the only child, was maybe jealous and might harm the baby. But she insisted, and they didn't think she was all that jealous, so they decided to let her do it, as long as she left the door open a little bit. And so she went into the room, and she got real close to the baby and looked into the baby's eyes and said, "Dear baby, tell me what it's like to be with God. I think I'm forgetting already." Sometimes, as we grow older, we forget what it's like to be with God, to be surrounded by Him, to know that in Him we live and move and have our being. Reality is that we are called to be Emmanuel, to be God with us in the world around us, to be the presence of God in this world and to share God's love and grace with the people who are sitting in darkness all around us. We are called to spread the Word of God to people who need it the most. Many years ago, in my first pastorate, I was the associate minister at Morrison United Methodist Church over here in Leesburg. Riley Short had a wedding one evening. It was in the springtime, and so it was late in the day. But as the guest arrived in the early evening, the sanctuary wasn't lit. They didn't have any of the lights on. And as they arrived, it got darker and darker, so that by about the time that the service was supposed to start, the place was pretty well, you couldn't read the bulletin. But then some ushers came down, and starting in the front, they started lighting candles, sort of like what's on the altar today. Candle after candle after candle. And as they lit the candles, the lights began to spread. And they even went up into the balcony of the church and lit candles up there. And by the time they were finished, the whole sanctuary was lit so you could push back the darkness and see what was there and to have the service. We're called to spread the light of Christ, to share the good news with people who need to hear it the most, to reach out in love and grace and forgiveness to a world and to even those who we don't like at all, to share God's love with all of the world, to become the clay that is waiting for the potter's hand, that we might be molded into His likeness and be used for His plans, to become like John the Baptist, the one pointing at the light that is yet to come, so that we can be the people of God and do what He has called us to do. As Christians, as we move from Advent into Christmas, we need to be the light of the world to a world that is living in darkness, to be able to push back a little bit that darkness that seems to want to engulf us all. We need to be Emmanuel, God with us, and bring light to the world. Amen.